My question for you is, what do lettuce, rock climbing, and Jesus have in common? Lettuce, rock climbing, and Jesus. And if you think about courage, the moments of courage, that might be a connecting point for you. We'll dive into that in just a moment. Right now, let's pray. Holy Spirit, it is your word that you bring to us now. It is the word of Jesus, the word of the Father, that you are bringing to our hearts and our ears. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to receive it with thankful hearts, to believe what it is that you're giving us, and to live in this courage, in this boldness that comes only from you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, lettuce, rock climbing, and courage, and Jesus. So, they are three of some of the most courageous things you can do. Not the most, always. Depends on the timing, but and the particular situation. But lettuce, when you talk, when you tell somebody, hey, you've got some lettuce in your teeth, right? That takes a certain amount of boldness and bravado, a little bit of courage to say, like, I don't know if you know this, but yes, that's a thing. And so either you have to be bold or you have to have a relationship with somebody to go up and say that. You're like, because you can see it, because we've all seen it in somebody else's teeth before. Like, I can't tell them. I don't have the heart. Like, okay. All right. And rock climbing is another thing. The courage, the boldness to place your life in someone else's hands, and the courage for them to place their life in yours. As you go rock climbing, there's rope and physics. That's really what's making that all work. Has anybody been rock climbing before on a wall or an actual rock? All right, a few of you? All right. Okay, yeah, and it's, and they have devices now that where you can solo it, but I don't always trust the machines. I like to place my trust in someone else's hands, especially if they have training and they're on site for that. And then sharing Jesus can be very intimidating if you don't know what to say, or you feel like no one would listen to me, or all the things that run on repeat on our head when we even consider talking to somebody else about Jesus. And yet, that is the mission, isn't it? That is what God calls all of us to do. Not all of us are evangelists, right? We're not all evangelists, but we're all called to share Christ's story, to mobilize generations to join Jesus on his mission. That's the call. That's the mission for each of us. And that takes courage. Courage that we don't always have on our own. And so there may be other moments that may demand much more boldness, or at least as much, if not more, boldness and courage. And when it comes to kairos moments, where God breaks through, God supplies what you need at just the right time. So in our reading today, the church prayed for the ability to speak your words, verse 29, to speak your word with all boldness. They're praying this to God. And God responds by what? Filling them with his spirit. Let's pause there for a minute. Weren't they already filled? Right, because this is chapter 4 of Acts. Last week we covered Acts chapter 2. If you haven't read that yet, I invite you to read it. And that's when the Holy Spirit came on God's people. So did they not have it? But this is what God does. Everywhere you look where God is showing up, he does something and then he does it again. And he does it again and he does it again. Because, I mean, God knew what was going to be in that box this morning. We lose focus, right? We forget. God's people forget. And so over and over again, he brings his spirit. So as we get distracted, as we forget, God comes to us again and again to remind us, to refresh us, to fill us all over again with his spirit. And that's what he was doing in Acts 4. So he filled them with the Holy Spirit, and the building shook. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, other than maybe there was power at work, the power of God at work in that moment. I might be a little freaked out, like, is that an earthquake or is this God? How do you tell? And I think it's by faith, by the faith God gives you, by the work and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within us as he was filling and dwelling within them. And so this comes on the heels, chapter 4 comes on the heels of chapter 3, where Peter and John were walking through the temple, and they healed a man that was unable to walk. And everybody knew who this guy was, right? Have you walked through downtown Ann Arbor at all, and are any of the faces of guys or women panhandling or selling newspapers because they are residents at the Delano Center and they write articles for that paper that they're selling? And that's one way you can support them. So maybe you get to know some of those guys. I met a guy this summer, I believe his name is Robert, and met another guy just a few weeks ago, bought a paper from him, his name's Joe. And so just the more time you spend in the city, some more of these faces become familiar. That's this guy in Acts 3. Like, he was a guy that everybody knew. So when Peter and John walk by him and he says, "You got anything for me?" And they're like, just like you and me, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash on me," right? But instead they say to him, "I don't have any gold or silver, but what I do have, I give to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And God strengthens his ankles as Peter grabs his hand. And it's not Peter doing the work, but Peter is there. He's the vessel God is using. The words that Peter spoke, the Spirit did his work in that man, and they strengthened his ankles and his legs, and he rose up and walked. And he did a lot better than walking. He was jumping. He was praising God. He was so elated of what God had done in his life. And so God keeps them focused, right? So Peter and John they did this work, and then they get in trouble for it, right? The religious leaders, they just like when Jesus was alive and on the earth. Now, Jesus is alive now, but he's risen into heaven. And so his followers, his apostles, the sent ones, Peter and John and others, they're in the city doing the work of Jesus. And so these chief priests and elders are giving the same treatment to them that they gave to Jesus. And if you read through their admonishment, their correction, their threatening of Peter and John, they tell them not to stop the miracles. They tell them to stop preaching, to stop doing things in the name of Jesus. That's a big distinction. And so these Peter and John, speaking boldly and courageously, they address Jerusalem's leaders, and they're threatened, and then they cling to Jesus in faith. And so they, after they're kind of released from the leaders of Jerusalem, they go back to their people, back to the 3,000 plus that God brought together on Pentecost and then some. So they regather with them, and what do? They pray, knowing how easy it is to get distracted. And so God keeps them focused because God has worked in them once, and he keeps working in them. And as he does, more miracles come. There's more healing, and with that, more preaching. They get exactly what they pray for, right? They didn't pray for more miracles. They prayed for what? Boldness to speak the word. And verse 31, they continued to speak the word of God with all boldness. God brought boldness and courage to them at just the right time. And from this, there are three things about courage, boldness, I want you to remember. Courage comes from the heart. Courage opens opportunities, and courage is a gift. So courage comes from the heart. Courage opens opportunities, and courage is a gift. So that first point, courage comes from the heart. I don't mean that exactly as it sounds, so let me explain. The word courage itself comes from Old English and Old French based on Latin on the word for heart, which is cor. So courage of the heart, right? Something from the heart, something from inside, something that's deep and persistent in you. And so the apostles and disciples that were now a group that Luke stopped counting, right? At first, right, 3,000 were added to their number. And then more, like maybe 5,000. And by the time we get just two chapters later, he starts keeping track, right? There's just so many. Daily, God is adding to their number. And as Luke is recording the story, right, he records how the disciples, the apostles, they had to dig deep in their hearts to find their courage to do these works and signs and preaching, right? No. It's not their digging that in their own hearts that did the work. It's not their words that do the work. It's the word of God in their hearts. It's God creating new hearts within them with his power, with his word that comes out of them. And so they don't even give it a second thought. There was no hesitation with Peter and John with the man who was born unable to walk. Right? They didn't hesitate. They didn't wonder, I don't know, is this the moment? I don't know. Somehow they knew. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. When you know what to say and you're not freaking out and you're not caught up in your own wheel of like, is this a moment or isn't it? Should I say something or shouldn't I? When you just do, that is God's Spirit giving you peace for sure, courage to believe absolutely, and the words to speak. And so the disciples know from past failures and blunders what they do on their own, apart from God. And so God, they recognize that God is the only one who could bring this about. They learn that God not only gives them faith to believe, but also courage to speak. Like they did to the disabled man. Those words that Peter said to him, chapter 3, verse 6, I don't have any gold or silver, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. We talked about how you do you believe in miracles or don't you? This past Tuesday at Last Word. And what's hard to believe about miracles is that we don't seem to see them happen in the same way, right? Like, we don't typically see people who are unable to walk out in the city. Sometimes we do, but they're usually still unable to walk. We don't see people healing them. We don't see God doing those kinds of signs right now. And why is that? One, the early church was just starting. That was a different season. And this is in first century Palestine, right? We are in 21st century Ann Arbor. It's a different setting. We're different people. But it is the same God. It is the same God. And there's something about America where we're resistant to the ideas of something supernatural like that. That something has to apply to our reason and our logic. And so it makes something like that. There are communities where Jesus went to, right? And he couldn't do any miracles there because their lack of faith. And so it's the faith that God creates in us that holds on to the power and word of God that does the work. And so that is what is happening in Acts chapter 3. And as we read it in Acts chapter 7, there's a courage that trusts, right? So rather than seizing on the words of Peter and being beholden to Peter, the man was celebrating what God, he wasn't praising Peter and John, right? He was praising God. And so it's a courage not only that speaks, but courage that trusts that this is the right moment, that what Peter was going to say to this guy is the word of God for him. What is the word of God for you today? What is God speaking to you today through these words and acts? What is it that you've needed to hear that God is saying right now? What is it that maybe you didn't know you needed to hear, but God is telling you all the same? What is it that's distracting you from those words, that's making them hard to hear or hard to believe this morning? It's because courage doesn't just speak. It doesn't just give us the ability to trust. It's courage that affects, right? The courage of Peter and John in that moment affected that man, but not just that man, right? Because everybody in the temple knew who he was. And pretty soon everyone in Jerusalem knew who he was. And it wasn't just that man, and it wasn't just the people that were in awe of God's power through the apostles. It was the people who were opposed to God that were also affected by this miracle and by the word of God that Peter and John spoke to them. And then following that, they didn't stop. Right? The word of God affected change in a man's body. It drew people into what he was doing through the apostles and the disciples, but it also affected people's pride. Not everybody celebrated what God was doing, especially people with a different agenda. And though Peter and John were told to stop, they didn't. And God's word worked faith to believe, and he gave people their courage to see, to hear, to love people who were in need then and there. God worked courage in their hearts and opened opportunities for them. And God works courage, that same courage within you, to open your heart and your mind to see, hear, and love people, to see those opportunities around you, because that's what courage does. Courage opens opportunities. Courage opens the opportunity to gather, which as we read in chapter 4, verse 23 from our reading today, when they were released, they went to their friends. They gathered with their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had done to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes rather prophetically, if you know any portion of Dietrich's story, maybe you know, he was killed in a Nazi concentration camp. And yet before that, he wrote these words. He says, it is not simply to be taken for granted that the Christian has the privilege of living among other Christians, right? I think that is something we simply take for granted, that we're able to live among one another. Bonhoeffer had that privilege removed from him, right? He didn't get to dwell peacefully among other Christians. He was imprisoned with other Christians and people from other faiths. But that's not quite the same. And yet, it's a privilege we have day after day here, living among other Christians. In fact, a difficulty of reaching people with the name of Jesus is that, like, all my friends are Christian. Well, get new friends. No, just kidding. But maybe expand your friend circles. Create openings for people who don't know Jesus to have a space, to have a place in those groups. And maybe not all of your groups, but one or some of them. Maybe here on a Sunday or Tuesday night at the Last Word, or some other occasion that hasn't happened just yet. But as we create space for people in our lives who don't know Jesus, we get to know their story. We see them and hear them. And God gives us the courage and the power to love them. And so, the privilege of living amongst other Christians, how much that mattered to the church in Jerusalem, and how precious is that to you and me today? And gathered, in verse 23 and following, they go right to prayer, right? Just like we do in the morning. We gather here, we sing a hymn to God, and we pray. And that's because courage opens the opportunity for us to pray. Courage opens the opportunity for us to pray. They didn't get distracted, right? They didn't get lost in plans for revenge or plans to run in fear. They didn't gossip and try to ruin the reputation of the Jerusalem leaders. They didn't scheme against them. They didn't plan a rebellion. What they did do was call in the name of God. The apostles were in the world to preach the gospel, which is then an illegal activity. The highest authority in Israel demanded that they stop. And what did they do? In perfect unity, not arguing over what they ought to do, they prayed. And the prayer was not a prayer for protection from persecution. It was a prayer of thanksgiving for all that God had already done. It was also a petition for courage to continue the work of proclaiming Jesus' name by word and deed. Lord, don't, it's almost as if they were saying, Lord, don't let your servants be cowed by the threats of your enemies. Let us speak your word with boldness. They called on God in their trouble. And he answers in spirit and in power. And he gives them the courage to go. Courage opens the opportunity to go. The faith that was in their hearts is the same faith that is in your heart today. Do you believe that? The same spirit with which God filled them is the same spirit that dwells within you this morning. This faith, this spirit led them to go back to Solomon's portico, the very place where they got in trouble, where they got arrested. They went right back there to a place where everyone could gather and hear. And so we see in Acts 3 and 4 and 5, the courage is a gift from God. Courage is a gift. Courage is a gift you receive as God works a new heart in you. If you're not feeling especially courageous today, you're actually in the right place. You're exactly where you need to be. If your heart is tired rather than stirred, if it's anxious rather than free, if it's distracted rather than focused, if it's broken rather than whole, this is the right place for you. For here, God gathers all your heart or the pieces that remain and teaches you and me to pray and to proclaim and to pray the words of a psalm. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew an enduring spirit within me. Courage is a gift that comes as God works a new heart within you. And courage is also a gift that we give. As God creates this new heart in you, he shows you unending generosity. He opens your eyes and ears and mouth to opportunities all around you, as he did with Peter and John and all the apostles and disciples. And we read that in Acts chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. And none of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets, laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Let's stop right there if we can go back. That just his shadow might fall on them. Now, this doesn't say that Peter's shadow did heal them. It also doesn't say that it didn't. But it does demonstrate the power of God at work through his people and the courage and the trust people had in what God was doing. That even just the shadow of his people doing his work brought about change. Their very presence did something to them. And verse 16. People also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This is what we're used to, in a sense, right? We're used to people coming to us. At least that's how church culture used to be. But for a while now, that's not been the way culture around us behaves. People don't center around churches anymore. Our lives don't shift around them. Ours might, but the culture as a whole does not. And so we need to shift from expecting people to come here to going there. In fact, one of the coaching cohorts I'm a part of talks about this, and that the best thing we can do right now is to get an invitation behind some of the barriers people place between us and being here, between here and them. And maybe it's a schedule issue. Maybe Sunday mornings don't work, so maybe it's a shift in schedule. But it's also maybe history with a church, or a lack of awareness of what church is, and what they are aware of, they don't really like. Because it's easier to see Christians going after each other on Twitter, on Facebook, anywhere else, than supporting each other. And so what we're called to do with the gospel is to build each other up here, absolutely. But all the more, develop relationships with people that already have barriers between them and the gospel. And when we get invited into those places, we get a chance to share that gospel that God has given us, that good word, that courage, that power. So you and I may not have powerful shadows that bring healing, but you do have the same spirit that empowers you, empowers your eyes, that empowers your mouth, that empowers your ears to opportunities around you, as God did with Peter and John, the apostles and the disciples. They saw a need and they met it with the bold name of Jesus. You do have the ability to bring healing as you listen, as you give people a chance to share their story. And as you get to know their story, perhaps they'll trust you with the bad parts of their story. And as they share, and maybe you've heard me say this before, but I'm not going to get tired of saying it, as they share with you the bad parts of their story, that gives you an amazing opportunity to share with them the good, bold news of Jesus. So courage is a gift that you give, but it's also a gift that you live. So why didn't Jesus heal that man that Peter and John healed? Why didn't Jesus take care of that when he was in Jerusalem? That guy was 40 years old. He had been a cripple for a long time. He had been disabled for a long time, excuse me. Why didn't Jesus take care of it then? Scripture does not explain that. And that's about all we know, because we can't speak where Scripture doesn't speak. But what we can say is that God did provide for that man at just the right time. That was his kairos moment, where God broke through with courage and faith. And what is described is faith lived out in community. That's what God is up to in this text. Faith lived out in community. That's what God is up to through his word. Faith lived out in community. And that's what God is up to in his church. So take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment now to pray for someone God has put on your heart. And maybe you haven't thought about this before, this moment. Maybe you've been thinking about this for a while. Maybe you've even been praying for someone for a while. Let's take a moment to pray. Whoever that person, or maybe it's more than one person, that's in your life that needs a courageous listener. Pray for God to help you listen. Pray for God to work courage in your heart. Pray for God to give you boldness to speak his word with all boldness, gentleness, and respect. Pray for God to break through at just the right time. Let's take a moment and pray for those individuals now. Lord, you know the names that are on our hearts. Lord, give us the courage to listen, to notice, to care for the souls with which we share a community. Lord, I pray for Mira and Jeff, for Joe and Jim, for the saints here at Emmaus and St. Paul and ULC, and at every church you have in this city. Lord, be at work in this city. As you work in this city, and we know that you are, move us to join you, to be in step with you on your mission, to get generations equipped with this courageous gospel, this good news that sets us free, so that other souls might be set free. Help us to listen when the moment comes to boldly speak. In your name, amen.